Hello, we're in the Minister's Room in the Pearce Institute for this programme. And it's presented by the Forum. And we're going to be loosely talking about the Common Good Awareness Project. We'll be talking to some people who work in the community and thinking about how the Common Good can impact in some of the things they do in the various activities. And as far as the Common Good goes, we can speak about it in the course of talking about things, but I can give you a wee thumbnail of what the Common Good is before we start. But I'll introduce my guests first. We've got Don McKean, who's a keen gardener, cartoonist, writer, blogger. He teaches at the City of Glasgow College, is involved in allotments and a film project, Detroit Glasgow Film Project, which you might be able to talk about, and various other community activities. Don moved from Glasgow, from the USA in 1996, and he says he's looking forward to experiencing summer one day soon.
Still waiting.
Ian Sharp, we set up the Leg Up Community Garden in Elder Park. He's helped to set up the Fairfield Land Trust, and he works in a community garden in Dumbarton. And Ian McInnes, who's a long-time community organiser and activist, housing campaigner and post office closures is a few of his more recent endeavours. He's setting up and running a local newspaper called The Crane, the South Side. And myself, Bob Hamilton, City Strolls community website and various other websites, events organiser and common good campaigner. And has known to do a bit of carpentry now and then.
Some may come and some may go now, we will surely pass. When the one that left us here, yeah, returns for us at last, we are but a moment sunlight.
Try and love one another right now, yeah. So how are you doing? Have you had a nice Christmas, guys?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Mumble, mumble.
Are you ready for 2011? This is the year it's going to happen.
This is it.
So I've been doing lots of stuff in the Common Good Awareness. You can download the website, which I'll give you at the end, to check out more of the details in the Common Good. But basically, the Common Good is a pile of assets that have been accruing for 500 years. And they're quite unique to this country. And these assets consist of schools, libraries, parks, public buildings, public land. They also comprise of what are called movable assets. That's artwork, jewellery and furniture and different things that people have gifted to the city up and down the country in different places. So it's basically the duty of the city councils to look after the common good in the interest of the public who actually own it. But over the years, many of the assets have disappeared through maladministration. One of the biggest problems is how to present a new form of stewardship to look after to these assets in the public's interest. Because money is made off the common good and profits from rent and sale should actually go back into the common good fund. But in a lot of cases, it just goes into the council's coffers. So the idea about the project is how we can make the public aware. There's lots of knowledge about the law, Andy Whiteman, people like that, can tell you lots of the history, land reform, etc. But one of the biggest problems is how to get the public involved, how to create awareness in the public.
Just in connection with the point you're making at the end there about making awareness, would there be any scope for doing some kind of presentation to school kids?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, it'd need to be something, you know, you need to present it in a way that's kind of entertaining, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A play or something like that, a school play even, that does the rounds.
Well, the reshuffle is to have a visualisation idea for the common good.
Aye.
You know, get kids making things, mm-hmm. Can build buildings and pictures, yeah. And castles or whatever.
And a logo, you might have like the Olympics, you know, a wee man, a common
good
man.
Tell me, I'm going to try to get somebody to, and that's one of the things, is something that's recognisable, you know, common good Willie or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe we should be trying to focus on the things that connect people rather than the things that separate us. Community's always, it's divide and conquer, isn't it?
Is that what we're doing here somewhere?
Mm-hmm. That's the first one. You said start at the start.
Oh, right, aye.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Looking for things that connect us rather than separate us. Because so much of what's happening in communities creates isolation. So we really have to do the opposite and create solidarity through the different things we're doing. So there's no reason why the Common Good could look at, the Common Good Awareness Project could be a kind of umbrella for looking at the way we can communicate with each other around the groups in different places.
Well, there are quite a lot of groups across the city, and as has been mentioned in the intro, one of the ones that I've been involved in is the Crane Group that periodically publishes a wee community newspaper. And it was, to some extent, inspired by another similar thing, which is known as the Borough Angel. And we hope that over time there'll be a lot of these community papers will be springing up around the place, and that we will be linked to each other. Not just linked to each other, but linked to lots of groups that are doing positive things in and around the city. And providing reports about what's happening with these. So sometimes it may be that some report is sort of syndicated around all the papers, so that somebody in Maryhill will read about what's happening in Govan or in some other part of the city, as well as what's happening in their immediate locality, thus being local without being parochial, if you know what I mean. So it's like having a kind of global outlook while not forgetting what's happening on your own doorstep.
I guess the thing it would be about parks. Most areas in the city have got a park, and probably the parks will be coming under, be getting attacked sooner or later.
Yeah.
Parks.
Well, we've seen the example of the Pollock Park, Pollock Estate, whatever, and the sort of fight back that took place there. It may be that there were more resources thrown in there because it's used, some would argue, by more people who have got a more sort of, if you like, sort of middle class background, and therefore access to more lawyers and the kind of linkages that can bring on greater pressure to defend that particular asset. But of course it's not just used by people who've got access to these sort of assets. It's used by everybody in that particular park, and it could be used as an example for other parks to defend their situation when it comes under attack, such as Rock Hill or Queen's Park or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the Pollock Park. The fact that it was common good, I think, impressed a lot of people, because it looked as if it was something that was worth fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you get a lot more people. But Ian's project, or the garden project in the Elder Park, looks like something that could be used as that model for engaging people, common good and things like that, because mostly it's been run, with common good principles.
Yeah. That's, I think Ian made a very good point that there are areas that I've got parks where a lot of people just don't come out and take any interest in it, so it's quite easy for those common good assets to get swallowed up. The park in Govan, seem to have quite a lot of people in Govan that are willing to put a bit of time into, a bit of energy into trying to protect it. So hopefully we can try and set some kind of precedent there. It is a deed of gift, obviously. The council are down as the registered keepers of the park, but there is scope.
I like the whole do-it-yourself attitude of it, mm-hmm. that you don't have to spend millions of pounds. You can actually, I mean, what's happened in the garden just now looks great.
Yeah.
There's been very little money spent on it. It's that idea about slowing down and letting people enjoy the process of what they're doing rather than a big building appearing the next day. And, you know, that shapes the idea and they have to move into the idea, whereas just now they're sort of like creating an idea on their own.
Yeah. It was quite important to me in the beginning when I started the garden that it wasn't really about growing vegetables, it was about growing people. It was about the people evolving and having space to grow and stuff like that. And because we don't put any limitations or conditions on the people that join the project, people feel a bit freer, if you like. Swinging for the trees or doing anything crazy, but just the atmosphere is different from the world outside, because the world outside, everything is questioned all the time, no matter what it is, even the slightest thing. You're made to feel like you have to explain yourself for this or that or the next thing. The freedom that people enjoy coming to the garden, because there isn't that kind of pressure at all, doesn't that sort of atmosphere there. There's nobody that they have to report to, nobody that they have to be afraid of, are they going to complain about me doing this wrong or whatever. And I think that's why it's been quite a successful project, because people keep coming back to it, and mm-hmm. I think generally speaking, a lot of the people that come back to it are only gardeners, and I know that particularly that interested in vegetables, so that must be the reason why they're coming back, because it makes them feel good being there. I think that's a good way to start something like that, because you need to, and you're right at the start, if you try and make it a gardening thing, you'll end up with 10 people. What's the point of that? Trying to bring people together, trying to create a bit of a community. So it's important to try and get away from, you're going to have to come on a Tuesday, or you're going to have to do this when you come. Try and keep it as wide as possible. Don't need to come. Be missing for 6 weeks if you want, then pop your head in one day for a couple of hours. That's fine. You're still a member. And it just keeps everybody connected to it, joined up to it. Because there'll be other periods where they will, plenty of time in their hands and they want to come in.
Don, what's happening in your day? Your allotments, you used to be in the allotments that were...
They were...
Moved.
We were removed.
Yeah, you were rubbed out and you were put to a new location. But that was actually across the road for the Richmond Park, which has now got lots of houses built on it that the council swore they would never do, is actually build housing and parks. But what happened about the allotment? Because it is dead important, you got a new allotment, but the fact is the allotment that was there was the original place and the trees growing in it, and so the place was dead important.
It was, and I mean it's a real tragedy that Oatlands, it's officially Oatlands Leisure Gardens, because it wasn't a council allotment, and that was one of the reasons why it was kind of easy for it to get moved. If you have a council allotment and the council wants to move it, they have to give you like for like. But what had happened in Oatlands was, as they were starting to what they call regenerate the neighborhood back in the 80s, they were just, they're just knocking down all these tenements, and they had a big space. And so for the people who were still there, they were like, well, it's like trying to do something nice for the community, right? Here you go. Here's a space, and this can be your garden. And nobody, I think, thought, you better make sure this is an official allotment, right? So they can't just take it from us. And it's been there. The old one was there in 86. I think it was there for, I think that's when it started. And it was an amazing place, really higgledy-piggledy, very unique, you know, a bit like in the way Wither Park, how it's, you know, it built over time and did not, you know, standardized, right? Developers there, it's now Bet Homes, used to be Gladedale, the council gave them that land for a lease of, I think, something like 175 years. And it's one of these things, you know, you pay them a pound or something, it's like a symbolic thing to get the lease. And for that, they're supposed to maintain all of the, like, roads and the electrics and all this stuff. And they've been putting up all these houses that, you know, it's the same sort of style architecture that you see today. It's very kind of, somebody said it looked like a private prison in America, and that's what it looks like to me. There's no amenities there either. There's no shops or anything. There were shops in the old neighborhood in Outlands, because I know people used to live there. And there isn't that there now. And it looks very much like a neighborhood in transition. We were lucky in Outlands to have our secretary, Margaret Kerr, was really good at being able to campaign to get the new space, because I think, I really doubt we would have gotten the space, and I was surprised we did. So we got a new space in March, and it's about, I don't even know if it's half the size of what we used to have. Certainly, like, the plot that I have for the course I teach on is half of the size that it used to be. It's not the standard allotment size. And it's all, I mean, it's great to have a new space. It's great that we didn't just get kicked out, but it's all the same. It's like all little picket fences, you know. And if you see any new allotments the council's building, this is what they want. It all is very standardized.
Yeah, seems the blocks of flats.
Yeah, and there's very little sort of imagination with it. As people have started to grow things, now it's getting more character to it. And
so how do you use it? What do you use it for, mainly?
Well, mainly I use it, along with my wife, Jackie, is a teaching tool for I teach teenagers who are on a transitions program. And it's a way to just try to get them out of the classroom and kind of learning to do more practical things, but also to be in an environment that they're not used to be around different people. And, you know, I mean, like, they have a lot of prejudices against older people, and older people maybe have prejudices against them. And it's just a way for people to try and see the reality of each other. You know, I mean, we're trying to, you know, experiment a little bit with what different sort of things we could try to grow. We're going to build a plastic bottle greenhouse, you know, just stuff like that, that we can every year try to do something different, just make it kind of a challenge and show what's possible.
It's interesting that Patrick Geddes, Edinburgh, you know, the town planner,
mm-hmm.
who designed the old town and stuff, and I'm sure I read it somewhere that one of his ideas was his daughters, he wasn't too bothered about his daughters' formal education, but he wanted them to be gardeners,
mm-hmm.
because it was a good way of, you know, organisation and
mm-hmm.
thinking about the weather. And you know, most people that go into garden, they think about different things right away because you have to take the weather into your,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you have to do things and be in there. So it's a good way of structuring things and looking after things and doing things at the right time. So it's quite beneficial for people if they need to get a wee bit more control in their life, you know, a bit more organisation.
Yeah, because the students we're working with have been failed by the education system, and one of the problems that a lot of them have had with it is just that a lot of things they're asked to do don't make any sense. And I mean, a lot of education is just about passing assessments and being able to measure that, and a lot of young people, they can't really see the point. And at least with this, you know, it's, you can see what you're doing, you can see the purpose of it. There's nothing so abstract about it that, you know, you could kind of wonder, well, what's the point of it? I mean, you're either into it or you're not into it. Not all the students are as keen on gardening, sort of like what you were saying, Ian, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't just expect everybody to get that gardening bug. But there's so many other things to be done. I mean, because the space they gave us was so crappy, we had to dig some drainage ditches. Mm-hmm. And one of the other guys who's been in the allotment for a long time, this guy George, he showed us how to dig the drainage ditch. And that's kind of sorted out the thing from just becoming a swamp, you know. But that was something that, you know, a lot of the guys got into. So, I mean, there's so many different things that you have to do and have to think about with it. I think it's a better teaching tool than just staying in the classroom and filling in forms,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of what education is now.
Well, I would take up the theme that Don has mentioned, you know, that it's better to be doing things that rather than just sitting in the classroom type of idea. In the past and hopefully in the future, in relation to like we local publications, one of the maxims that we've worked to has been in their own words, where people tell their own story, and so they've got the freedom to do that. It's not necessarily a case of always having somebody turning up with a notebook or a wee tape recorder and saying, you know, just getting a few quotes off somebody and a few quotes off somebody else and then putting something together, which has its place, but at the same time, if there are people telling their story, then it's more alive for them and it gives them more enthusiasm about their particular project. So there's, with that enthusiasm, it comes across in the page when people later on are reading it. They also turn around to their friends and say, well, look, there's a picture and so-and-so is in it and I wrote that bit and all this sort of thing, you know. People are learning about the use of language and all kinds of things, you know, and about how they become a wee bit more empowered, as they say, you know, because they've actually made the decisions about that. They haven't had to constantly ask somebody's approval, but at the same time, they feel they've got approval when they see their thing in front of themselves, whether it's using lots of plastic bottles and
mm-hmm.
to build a part of a greenhouse, or whether it's that, you know. It's, in a sense, the theme is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's people getting that autonomy as individuals and also becoming part of a collective at the same time. So it can be quite exciting for people. And I think all that kind of thing can link to the common good in a big way.
If any listeners are interested in anything in the programme, have a comment or may have a topic for the forum, details can be found on citystrolls.com. Thanks for listening. No friends, ain't got no
got life. I've got laughs. I've got headaches and toothaches.